Now let's continue on in Psalm 104. Now, let's go to the very next one, because Psalm 104 shows how God sustains what he created. So we have, of the seven proofs of God, one, creator; two, designer, that means order; three, life, we have covered that, and life means power and energy; and number four, sustainer, and there's also power in that, sustainer. He sustains it. Not only has he built it, he can change it. Now, the next time you're driving along, and out here in the West, we get a chance to see it all the time. I know when I was pastoring in Salt Lake and Boise, I would drive into Wyoming. And there, you can go up 12,000 feet right on the Continental Divide, and you can stoop down and you can pick up fossils that used to be on the bottom of the ocean at 12,000 feet. And you see, the mountains were raised up, and there were great things that happened to this earth to form the mountains. And it's very interesting. And I noticed this in my many travels. As I would go up the main highway in southern Wyoming toward Rock Springs, the strata of the rocks would point east. On the other side of Rock Springs, the strata would point west. Now, what does that tell us? That tells us that somewhere right in that area, which is right at the Continental Divide, the highest point of the mountains, that those mountains were lifted up and spread apart. And so, therefore, the strata that used to be parallel are now on 30 to 45 degree angles, and in some places, 60, 70, and 80% angles. When I drive down to L.A. to go to Arcadia, I go through a spot in the mountains right coming on into Los Angeles where the strata are sitting on edge at this angle. How did that happen? God made it happen. There are times that he has changed the formation of the earth, raised the mountains, lowered the mountains, and what happened at the flood? The windows of heaven opened up, and the rain came down, and the fountains of the deep were broken up. And what happened with that? There had to be volcanoes, there had to be moving of mountains, there had to be shifting of these things all around. And even the evolutionists understand that the continents had to be separated. It makes you wonder what they're thinking. But they say, oh, that took place billions of years ago. Really? No, God could make it happen. Bang! All of a sudden, we'll see it right here. Okay? Psalm 104 shows how God sustains the world and all life. So it ties right in with Genesis, the first chapter. So David starts this psalm out, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great, and you are clothed with honor and majesty." Now, God is a spirit being, and as we covered, he inhabits eternity. And that's a level of existence that we want to attain to. God wants us to come to that, but he has to make it happen. You can't evolve from just being a physical human being now to having immortality. God has to give it. That also is proof that evolution cannot be true. Notice how God, who inhabits eternity, notice what he looks like. We see it in another place there in Revelation, the first chapter, that the countenance of Jesus' face was like the sun shining in its full strength. Notice how it's expressed here, verse 2, "covering yourself with light as with a garment and stretching out the heavens like a curtain." Now, do you have a big bay view window that you look out? Do you have curtains that you can just run over there and pull the cord and the curtains close? Well, think of it this way. God stretched out the vastness of the heavens, the earth, the universe, just like curtains. Who lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He walks upon the wings of the wind. Can you do that? Jesus said, those who have been born again. So now all of you who think you're born again Christians, you better take another thought, because you ain't been born again yet. No way. Born again means that you're changed from flesh to spirit, because Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit, and that which is born of the spirit is just like the wind in that it's invisible. And it goes wherever it wills, and you can't tell from where it came to where it's going. So is everyone who's born of the spirit. Well, God is a spirit being. So he can walk on the clouds, walk on the wings of the wind. Now then, there's another creation that the evolutionists know nothing about, nor do they understand, nor do they realize. There is another level of spirit beings. First you have God, God the Father and God the Son. Below them you have all the angels. And part of the story of man's existence and man's fall is that there was a fall of a third of the angels eons ago under one who became Satan the devil. And so there's a Satan the devil who's a liar, who will foment these kind of theories that these evolutionists believe, cause them to believe it, cause them to believe a lie. And then there are the righteous angels, the two-thirds of the angels that remain faithful to God. He makes his angel spirits, his ministers, a flaming fire. Now, he uses the angels and demons to rule the world. So now he talks about the nature of God and then the nature of angels. Now then, he talks about the earth. So let's read that. Verse 5. He established the earth on its foundations. I wonder what the foundations of the earth are. Now, they have some things where they know that the core of the earth is molten iron. And of course, that's where we get, and other elements involved in it as well, too. But that's where we get the magnetics, which keeps the earth moving and spinning on its axis, and the magnetics that come from the sun, and the magnetics that come from Jupiter. And the earth is protected by a magnetic shield. Amazing, isn't it? So that it should not be removed forever. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. Let there be water. Bam, there was water. The water stood above the mountains. Yes, it was all flooded. At your rebuke, they fled. At the voice of your thunder, they hastened away. The mountains rose. The valleys sunk down to the place that you had founded for them. And you have set a boundary that they may not pass over, so that they might not return again to cover the earth. He separated the waters and said, go no further than this. Now, yes, we can have tsunami waves, but they can't destroy the land and they can't get out of the bounds of the ocean. But a tsunami wave is a phenomenon created by something else, such as an earthquake and the power and magnitude of the earthquake under the waters. Verse 10, he sends forth the springs into the valleys. Now, we all need water to live and drink, don't we? Yeah, right now we're in the middle of a terrible, terrible drought, and it looks like that the Mississippi River is going to nearly dry up. What do you think is going to happen to all the wells? What are you going to do if you run out of water because God tells the clouds do not rain? Yes, normally the springs flow between the mountains. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them, the birds of heaven will have their place of rest. They sing among the branches. So God has made everything, hasn't it? Look at what the birds are and what they do. Fantastic. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. Yes, there's a lot of snow at the North and South Pole because rain freezes. The earth is full of the fruit of your work. works. Now, the evolutionists would just believe that everything is there to demonstrate the power of God's creation, His design, His making it happen, His sustaining it. And this is what we're talking about now. He is sustaining all of these things. And yes, He renews them, because unless He renews them, they all deteriorate and collapse and become nothing. So God sustains them. Verse 14, He causes the grass to grow for the livestock and herbs for the service of men, to bring forth food from the earth and wine that makes glad the heart of man, and oil that makes his face shine, and bread to strengthen the heart of man. Everything that there is there, God has made to sustain all life and human life, and so that we can have food to eat. Stop and think. Did you have breakfast this morning? What did you eat? Where did it come from? How did it get there? What was the effort necessary for people to get it to you? Did you enjoy it? Well, God made food an enjoyable thing, didn't He? Yes, indeed. Now then, He shows how He sustains everything that He does. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which He has planted. How does a tree grow? You know, grass. You know what the most common thing on the earth is? Grass. Now, what does it say about human beings? All flesh is grass. Are we sustained by vegetarian things? Yes. Do animals that we eat, how do they grow? They eat grass and other fodder food, don't they? Yes. All flesh is grass, like the flower of the field. The birds make their nest, as for the stork, the fir trees are his home. The high mountains are for the wild goats, and the rocks are a refuge for the badgers. Watch any special showing the mountain climbing goats. They're an amazing creatures. They're something. They can move around on steep mountains, and that's where they live. God made them there. All right, let's see how He sustains more things on the earth. Who made the moon for the appointed times? That's why we have the book, The Appointed Times of Jesus the Messiah. What is God doing on earth? And He's doing it according to the appointed times. The sun knows it's going down. You make darkness, and it is night in which all the beasts of the forest creep forth. Yeah, there are some things that God made that come out, and they live their lives in the dark at night while we're all sleeping. Okay. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. The sun rises, they slink away, go to their dens to lie down. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. And does that not happen to this very day? Yes, because God has made it that way and sustains it that way. O Lord, how many are Your works? In wisdom You have made them all. The earth is full of Your creatures. So you see, that's why God says He has manifested His divinity and His Godhead and His power to all of mankind, and yet there are those who choose to reject what God has revealed and believe in the theory of evolution. And we have the seven proofs that God exists. The very fact that life continues the way that God has ordered it. And whenever men get out of alignment with God, then we have difficulties and problems, don't we? Yes. It affects the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, the harvest seasons, everything. You know, those people who live in areas where there's starvation and famine, they know what it is, life and death. They know how thin the margin of life is. and those who have to go get water where there is no water at all, and they have to travel a long way and go down into the well and the oasis and bring up the water. They know they need water, and God provides it for them there. Think about what is God has done for all of us here. That's something. Verse 25, there is the great and wide sea in which are creatures without number, both small and great living things, just like he said, just like it was there in Genesis, the first chapter. See, so I want you to understand, God sustains all of that. You can read all the rest of it, Psalm 104, but God is sustainer. Now, let's read one more. Let's read one more. Sustainer, upholder. Sustainer and upholder. Let's come here to Hebrews, the first chapter. And this is a verification that what God is doing is being held up by the one who created it, who is Jesus Christ. That's what is so tremendous about the Bible. You know, isn't it something, brethren? Stop and think about it. Stop and think about the penalty of the ignorance of the evolutionist and scientist who, instead of giving God the glory, glorify nothing. Everything came from nothing. But how can nothing produce something? Try a little experiment, okay? Have an empty cupboard. Put nothing in it. And check it every single day to see if it brings forth something. Now, it may be invaded by ants or cockroaches, spiders, but did it of itself produce anything? Can the cupboard which you built out of inanimate wood produce live, living things on the shelf that you put there that are nothing? No, they can't. Well, likewise, after the earth is created and everything that God created it, it has to be sustained. And Psalm 104 tells us God is the one who sustains it. Okay? He is sustainer. Sustainer. All right. Now let's come to Hebrews, the first chapter. Now let's see, and this is to give you a greater understanding also of your calling and who it is that is working with you. Brethren, I want you, each and every one of you, to know and understand the one who created the heavens and the earth, Jesus Christ, and the one who is greater than Jesus, the Father. They love you. They want you. They are dealing in your life. So not only are we talking about sustaining of the physical creation, we're also talking about sustaining of the spiritual creation that God is working in you, see? And he wants your full cooperation. He wants you to grow in grace and knowledge. He wants you to study and pray. He wants you to learn and change and grow, and to know what God wants you to do. He wants you to know who he is, how much he loves you, how much he cares for you, and the great plan that he has for you. And not only does he sustain the earth and the universe and everything that there is, he sustains us. And furthermore, by his Spirit, we have seen in the series we've done on Grace Upon Grace, that he is dwelling within us. God the Father and Jesus Christ are dwelling within us with his Spirit that he's given to us, so that we can understand the greatness of God, we can understand the plan of God, so that we know why we're here and where we're going. And these things did not happen by accident, and these things did not happen by evolution. It didn't gradually happen one time. God had to reach down and bring you to repentance so you could repent and come to him. And God says, I am going to give you eternal life that is going to be of a level of existence in eternity that it is going to be so fantastic that it's going to be awesome indeed, and you won't really realize it until the day of the resurrection. But here, let's read Hebrews 1. God, who spoke to the fathers at different times in the past and in many ways by the prophets, has spoken to us in these last days by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. And that means the universe. He made them. He created them. And is still creating. The universe is not winding down. The universe is not collapsing. The universe is still being created by the power of the Word of God. And Christ was the Word who spoke, and it was heir of all things. Now we are joint heirs with Christ, by whom also he made the ages, who being the brightness of his glory and the exact image of his person. Now think about that for a minute, because we are made in the image and likeness of God, right? Yes, for this great purpose. Now if the evolutionists would, you know, they're never going to find that out, because their foolish hearts were darkened and they are blinded. They're blinded by the worship of their own minds and proclaiming themselves how great and righteous and good that they are. Who being the brightness of his glory and the exact image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his own power. And Jesus told the disciples just before he ascended into heaven, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus said of himself. And notice this, the brightness of his glory, clothed with light and majesty, the exact image of his person, and that's what we are to be, and upholding all things by the word of his own power. But you see, he had to do something to save us. And here's what he did. This is the greatest summary of Genesis, the first chapter, and the Gospels. Right here. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now God is going to have us be with Christ and with the Father. That is going to be something. That is going to be really fantastic, brethren, when you know that, you understand that. Now let's come back here to Psalm 145. Okay? Psalm 145. Now this is something, brethren, let's really know and understand it the way we need to. Okay? God has called us. God has called us to be in his kingdom. All right? Now, let's go to Psalm 148 and 149. Because, you see, it's one thing to understand some of the things we're discussing here. But all of these things are only stepping stones. Stepping stones to understand why we're here, where we're going, what are our purposes, and what God is doing for us. And we need to realize and understand that. Now, Psalm 148. Think what it's going to be like at the resurrection. We're all on the sea of glass. Every one of us get a new name. Every one of us get new garments. Every one of us have an assignment. All of us are important, and we are going to rule the world. That's why God has called us. That's where we're going. So not only is it a matter of disproving, which is easy to do, the things concerning evolution and those who believe that everything came from nothing, but it's another thing to go beyond and understand the purpose as to why God has done what he has done. So here, Psalm 148. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights, praise him all his angels, praise him all his hosts, praise him sun and moon, Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. All of that to the glory of God. Amazing thing, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Think of what it's going to be like on that day of resurrection, when we will literally see this take place, because the climax and the culmination of the creation of God, because you see, God is creating in us his character. And that's the most important thing. It takes God, the Father in Christ, and you working together to grow in grace and knowledge and develop the holy character that comes from God. All the rest, notice what it says here. He has also established them forever and ever. He has made a decree which shall not pass away. Let praise be to the Lord from the earth, from the sea monsters and all the depths. Fire and hail and snow and vapor and stormy winds fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills and fruitful trees and all cedars. Beast and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth. Both men and women, both men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heavens. And he also lifted up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near to him, oh, praise the Lord. Now hold your place right here because we're going to come back. Let's come to Revelation, the 5th chapter, and let's see how that God's plan is going to have the whole creation praise God. Think of that. And it's going to be what God is doing with us. Now notice, verse 10, Revelation 5. Notice what happens here. This is a tremendous thing, brethren. Think of this. Did make us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. That's what we're going to do. Listen, this world is in trouble and difficulty. It has problems, and it's almost getting overwhelming, the number of problems that we're having to face everywhere. And I know even in your lives, there are going to be some difficult things to come. So keep your mind on this verse 10. Notice, then I saw and heard the voices of many angels. Now we're going back there to Psalm 148 because this brings a fulfillment of Psalm 148. Of many angels around the throne and the voices of the living creatures and elders and thousands upon thousands, clear from the far reaches of the universe it's going to come, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And at that moment, when that takes place, look at what is going to happen, just like we read back there in Psalm 148. And every creature that is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and those that are on the sea and all the things in them, I heard saying to him who sits on the throne, that's the Father, and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and sovereignty into the ages of eternity. See, we're the ones who are going to live the billions of years with God. Not evolution taking billions of years to form the smallest little evolved thing that they can imagine. And yet, with all this evidence right in front of them, they're blind. No, you need to feel sorry for them. Anyone who believes in evolution has got to also be very miserable. Now finish verse 14. And the four living creatures said amen, and the 420 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives into the ages of eternity. Now let's come back to Psalm 149. See, so now we've gone beyond disproving evolution into what is the purpose of creation. See, it's one thing to say, well, the evolutionists are nutty. But what does God have? Why did he create all of this? And here we have it. Psalm 149. Oh, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of the saints. That's going to happen on the sea of glass. Let Israel rejoice in his maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in a dance. Let them sing to him with the drum and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people and crowns the meek with salvation. Every one of us are going to have a crown of life. Think of that. Think of this as the great ceremony on the sea of glass. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Won't that be great? Yes. You have a spirit body, a spirit mind. You have glory. Let them be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the nations and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with irons, to carry out upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints, O praise the Lord. Now that's going to be an amazing thing, brethren. Now that's why we need to learn the Word of God. That's why we need to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and being. And that's why we need to, brethren, grow and change and overcome. Look at what God has for us here. It's not just a matter of debunking the evolutionist. It's not just a matter of writing a booklet so we can say, oh, well, you don't know what you're saying. It is so that then can become a vehicle to preach the gospel, so that they likewise can have the blinders removed from them, the veil lifted from their eyes. Now let's read Psalm 51 and we'll end it here. And we still have a few more things to cover about the seven proofs of God. But we've got to go beyond the seven proofs of God. We've got to go to what is God doing. Verse 1. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. And the most mighty act is going to be the resurrection. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the ram's horn. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with the drum and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and pipes. Praise him on the loud cymbals and praise him on the resounding cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And that is going to be the ultimate answer to the foolishness of evolution. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.